take a Bible and turn to John chapter 10 as we read verses 22 through 30. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 934. John 10, 22 through 30. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." And you'll have to pardon me today. I'm going to have to stand here because Sunday night there was a terrible war and thunderstorm that went on when I went to put on my microphone, and the wire snapped and it was on, and you can ask Ken. It sounded like machine guns and bombs and thunder and everything else. So there is a new microphone on the way, but today I'll stand here. You know, we all have a certain amount of curiosity. We want to know things, right? If we don't, then we don't learn. Although sometimes those things that we want to know and we learn don't necessarily do a whole lot of good. Especially when it's gossip that moves along. But we think we want to know, and so we stay up on the latest gossip, whether it's in the community or watching the entertainment shows or whatever else there might be. Some are curious and want to take things apart. And not just small boys that like to take things apart. Even larger and older boys and sometimes girls want to take things apart. They need to know how things are put together, how they work. And I'm grateful for some of those after the carpet was installed. I'm grateful for one person especially who knows how to take things, take them apart, put them together, and get them to work again. Because if you look at the picture on my cell phone or on Ken Allen's cell phone, when he walked in after they finished doing the carpet, all of the computer stuff, modems and everything else, were just piled in a corner. And fortunately, he knew how to put them all together. So I'm very thankful for those kinds of things. Clint Eastwood in Dirty Harry, you might remember. This is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and it can blow your head clean off. Now, in all the excitement, I'm really not sure how many. Did I shoot 5 or 6 times? Well, do you feel lucky? Do you feel lucky, punk? And in one of the scenes, he turns to walk away after the guy's being arrested, and the guy says, "Wait, I gotta know." Click. I'm not sure I would have said "I gotta know." But just in case I had miscounted, or he had as well. Also, though, curiosity and knowing things is used by some, or by many, in fact, to withhold information that they don't want known. There are all kinds of alphabet agencies in the government and around the world that do those kinds of things, right? They get information, but then they withhold it because they don't want other folks to know. And we have seen, unfortunately, within our world in the last couple of years, but even just in the last several weeks, what can happen that devastates people and lives and scares countries. When some of those folks have information, but they don't want to share it with other alphabet agencies that could help. right? Brussels and Paris and other places. But unfortunately, there are also many people within our world who don't seem to feel a need to really know God, especially God in Christ, who was reconciling the world to himself. And there are more and more who don't even want to be known by God. All the surveys that are put out by the Barna Group and the Pew Research Association, and even anecdotally in classes that I teach in college, more and more folks do not want to really know God or be known by God. Even some of those who have been brought up in churches. I have a current student, and the only reason that I know who wrote, because I have them write anonymously in my classes in the second class period, if they believe in anything, any deity or not, and why or why not. And this particular student had already voiced in my presence something of his upbringing, and so he was brought up in one particular denomination, his parents, and he said, I was made to go to church. Then his parents switched to another denomination, which happens to start with a B and ends with a T. And he said, and you know what that means. Of course, I tried to tell him there are all kinds of different Baptists. And then he said, so I guess where I've really come down to is Jesus was not the Son of God, and I'm really not even sure that there is a God. There's a power or a force, so I guess you'd call me an atheist. So, unfortunately, there are more and more people in our world who really don't want to be known by God and really seem not to want to know God. But lest we think that that is just in our particular postmodern age, we have the same situation in Jesus' day. There were all kinds of folks who believed in various kinds of gods and in no God at all. And then there were those who believed in God but refused to see God's presence in Jesus, in spite of the teachings that he had done very publicly, in spite of the miracles, some of the early ones done privately, but most of them done in public. There were some who really didn't know him and really didn't know who he was and is. In fact, not only did they not know that, in their question in the text today, if you really are, tell us plainly, they weren't wanting Jesus to answer that question plainly so they could follow him. They were wanting Jesus to give them ammunition. And that's seen in the questions. How long will you keep us in suspense about who you are? In other words, are you the Messiah or not? These Jewish leaders, and we know that because the writer of the Gospel of John uses, when he uses the term the Jews, he's not talking about the populace as a whole. He's talking about the religious leadership who are in conflict with Jesus. These leaders who are present in Solomon's portico want Jesus to verbally state that, not to follow him, but to seek to get rid of him. To seek to get rid of him by either declaring him blasphemous. If he says yes, they'll declare blasphemy, saying that you are God. Or if he says no, then they will seek to use that to discredit him among those people who have been following him, saying, why are you following him and claiming that he's Messiah if now he has said he's not? New Testament writer John Marsh says they were saying, how long will you trouble us and annoy us in this way? William Hull notes that these leaders were not seeking to truly know and to follow Jesus. And he also notes that this is in December. It's in the winter. It's actually at Feast of Tabernacles. And it's in the winter. And Hull writes, and I quote, the cold weather of winter led Jesus to seek shelter in the portico of Solomon, where the Jewish leaders, with equally cold hearts, gathered around him. End of quote. It's not that they really wanted to know Jesus. They were looking to get rid of Jesus because of the coldness within their own hearts, not open to the mystery of God and God's presence in Jesus. Now Jesus responds to them, knowing the reasons that they feel they need to know. They're saying, we need to know this so that we can use that information. And what he says is also a challenge for them to understand what they really need to know, and that is God's presence in him. And they really need to know it in their hearts as well as their minds. In fact, Jesus says, listen, I've already told you and so many others of my identity and of my mission, both through my words, which have been done publicly and you have heard, and the deeds that I have done, the miracles I've worked. They speak to God's presence within me. They speak to who I am. And even though they had heard and seen outwardly, they did not choose to believe inwardly. In fact, as Bill Hull notes, if they could misunderstand or misconstrue what they had seen and heard, then surely they would not understand an explicit word, but would misuse it. Jesus goes a little bit further to tell them why they have heard and they have seen and they have refused to really know who he is. He says, you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. And if you do not belong to my sheep, you cannot truly know. So what does that mean? Some have said the choice to accept Jesus is outside the individual, that God has already decided for you and about you. There are some that use this passage to push predestination and to say that what Jesus was saying here is, you don't know, you don't belong because God has chosen not to let you know. Yet, if we remember that in John chapter 6, verses 43 and following, Jesus says that those who come to him are those the Father draws to him, which would seem to be predestination, he goes on to say, and I quote, these are Jesus' words, and everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. End of quote. And here in chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus say that his sheep hear his voice. In other words, they listen to him and they know him and are therefore known by him and follow. So Jesus was not pushing predestination. Jesus was saying, you don't belong because my sheep listen to me and then they respond. Earlier he was saying, those that the Father draws are the ones who listen and who learn, and then they decide to follow. And so it's incumbent upon you and me, just as much as it was for those Jewish leaders, to listen, to pay attention, to know and hear the voice of God in Jesus, and then to act upon that by following. He is saying that being part of his people is at least partially dependent upon you and me and our willingness to listen to God, to learn from God, to follow God in Christ, and even more importantly, to follow God's leadership and example as seen in Jesus and his life. They do not believe because they continue resisting God's voice in Christ, and so many people today do not believe and do not know because they resist the voice and resist the call. So then, who belongs? And how can one come to be among Christ's sheep or his followers? First, those who belong to the Good Shepherd are those who are open to the gospel's message and they listen and hear. We must have a willingness to be open, and not just one time when we make a decision to walk down an aisle. But we are called to open our hearts and our minds and to listen for that voice. To be open to the gospel's message, not just the gospel message as in you can be saved from your sins and have eternal life in heaven, but the gospel message that says this good news is to help you live a life better than that which you can live without it. As one of my former professors, and I hope I quote him correctly. Maybe I've got notes here. No, they're in one of my other Bibles. Dr. James Tull in Systematic Theology said that heaven is and redemption is not tacked on to a life of service and following God. A part of heaven is living a life of service and following God. It begins now, not just out there. And that's part of hearing the gospel message. Secondly, they know his voice and have learned that Jesus knows them, not just by name, but by heart and by spirit. They have come to know intimately God in Jesus. Third, they trustingly follow him. Why? Because they know him. We can't really follow Jesus, not as we should, if we don't constantly know him and know what he would have us to do. To know that he cares and can help, yes, but also to know that he expects us to care and to help. Those sheep who know him also are given eternal life that no foe can destroy. Their life is secure as they remain loyal to him. But it's a security that means we will persevere. As Bill Hull notes, and I quote, "We listen when he speaks. We ask, but he knows. We follow, but only as he leads. We receive, but he gives." End of quote. Therefore, we can live without fear. The enemies of God cannot overpower the shepherd's hand. Marsh posits that Jesus is proclaiming here that, quote, the Jews will be unable to win back the disciples who are loyal to Jesus. And to read it in the perspective of the writer, John, the church claims that Judaism will prove incapable of turning the people of Christ away from allegiance to him. End of quote. In other words, others cannot take us out of God's hand. They cannot forcibly remove us from God's hand. But before we get too overconfident and cocky, New Testament writer who has written a small commentary on the Gospel of John, Joseph Dongle, states it, I think, fairly well. But this passage does not address the matter of a sheep's inner disposition. The possibility of the sheep somehow wandering from the flock to such an extent that the sheep comes to prefer the call of the thief. It addresses the connection between perseverance and the possibly changing inner disposition of a believer. End of quote. In other words, we are expected to persevere in knowing, not just knowing Jesus once, but to persevere in knowing so that we do not at some point turn our backs and wander away from the shepherd for good. A part of the way that we do that, persevering in knowing, is in following him daily. Living with him, living for him. I heard a Catholic priest recently talking. and he was talking with a group of parishioners. And I thought what he said was rather interesting. So much so that, let's see, Jimmy's not here. Okay. Actually, as I was riding down the interstate, I took a piece of paper and wrote down some notes. As I was driving down the interstate, I took a piece of paper and jotted down some notes. But he said to this group, "There are many who were baptized and raised in the Catholic Church who have their envelopes and their names on the parish roll, but they come and they give so rarely and infrequently that they're not truly members of the church. It takes more than simply being on the roll or having envelopes to belong." End of quote. Which I thought was an interesting statement for him to make, but a very true statement. It's not just about occasional. It's about knowing God and being known by Jesus and following him daily. Granted, we cannot know everything. We cannot know all about God and Jesus as long as we are alive. But we do have the need to know. The need to know as much as we can and to allow ourselves to be known for as long as we live. Sometimes these things come in handy. And this morning I decided at one point to check Facebook. I rarely do. And one of my few friends, Marion Aldridge, had posted something and I had forgotten it a long time ago. And so I pulled out a book by Orthodox Bishop Callistos Ware on the Orthodox Way and found on page 16 the following quote. "It is not the task of Christianity to provide easy answers to every question, even about God, but to make us progressively aware of a mystery. God is not so much the object of our knowledge as he is the cause of our wonder." End of quote. We will always have that wonder if we truly seek to follow God in Christ with an open heart and an open mind. If we truly wish to know as much as we can and to allow ourselves to be known for as long as we live. We have a need to know, but we also have a need to be known and to share that which we know. Only when we do this can we truly be followers. Can we truly be called disciples? Can we really be Christ's sheep and attain to the life which he promises for those who not only have a need to know, but for those who continuously listen and hear his voice and are known? May we pray. Heavenly Father, so often we let the world around us drown your voice. So much so that sometimes we wonder where it might be, and yet you're always calling, leading, seeking to help us know you even more. We would ask that our ears would be open each and every day, and that as your sheep, we might truly hear and follow. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our final hymn number 353, is "Victory in Jesus." And we claim that. And yet, the true victory only comes to those who persevere in the mystery of knowing and being known. Our altar is open for any decision that you might make if you feel so led. Number 353. And we're going to sing verses 1 and 2. "Victory in Jesus."